Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show. They're from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back for another level 33.1 roundtable. It's our eighth, and I'm joined by Mr. Lance Lasser.
What's up? You remember this time.
That's right.
I was going to say something.
I made a point. Look to your left.
On your left.
So welcome back, Lance. On your left. That's it. He is Sam Wilson to my Steve Rogers. Also, we have Mr. Cavante Chillis.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. Casey Cochran.
What's up?
And Mr. Dallas Hernandez.
Hello, hello.
Am I from Dallas?
Dallas,
right?
From Dallas.
Dallas from Dallas.
How's that dating apps working out for you, man?
All right. I thought you had a bigger single woman DFW fan base. But apparently not. I don't know.
Very good. Cavante, welcome back to the roundtable. We can get your thoughts get your thoughts on the Snyder Cut.
Yes.
Perhaps. Also, peeling back the curtain here, Lance and I just did our commentary on Man of Steel, which will come out before this comes out.
Yep.
So little time travel there. And yeah, and then whatever else you guys want to talk about, you guys are usually pretty good about coming up with random Smallville things to discuss. So that's really what we have on the docket. Last time the Snyder Cut was like huge news, and it was like, oh my God, this time it's like, yeah, it's still, there's not much going on.
Yep. So.
This is the first time we've all been together and there's like nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, they did release a little tiny teaser thing, right?
Oh, the Wonder Woman thing? That was cool.
Yeah, they didn't release that. It showed Darkseid in it.
I thought the Snyder Cut was going to be black and white until I saw that. I didn't understand. all the pictures have been black and white.
I'm still getting major God of War vibes every time I see their version of Darkseid.
Yeah.
Uxis?
Yeah, so.
Whatever his name is.
Who? Okay, to tie it together, I saw Jason Momoa is being specifically eyed to play Kratos in a God of War movie.
Of course he is.
Of course.
He'd be a great Lobo.
Yep.
Oh.
But, you know, let's start out with, we just watched it. Let's start with Man of Steel real quick.
Okay.
Around the table.
Yeah. Greatest Superman movie ever.
Okay.
Ooh.
Strong words. Mm-hmm. Dallas, Casey, what do you think about Man of Steel real quick?
I don't know if I can say greatest, but I really enjoy it.
All right. Good. Cavante, what about you?
I enjoyed it.
All right. Very good. Lance?
It's all right.
All right. So I used to defend this movie because we had so many people. It's like I gave it like an A+ when I saw it. I was like drinking the Kool-Aid back in 2013.
You gave it two thumbs up on Facebook and everything.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So a lot of people are like, oh, he killed Zod. Oh, Jonathan and the Tornado, right? And that's, you know, that stuff actually doesn't bother me. I'm totally cool with those things. What does bother me, there's two things. One, it became very clear to me watching this time that somebody said, hey, Batman Begins was good, do that. But they didn't like think it through. So there's like random flashbacks and that kind of stuff. The structure's a little off in my opinion. But the main thing that the fatal flaw of this film is let's try to walk everybody through this. So
okay.
Instead of kryptonite, they do the Kryptonian atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. So when Superman and Lois go on the ship, they give her the little helmet, and they don't give Superman the helmet, right? And then when they strap him down to the table and clone Lex Luthor from Lazarus is like, here on this ship, you're as weak as a human, right? Because they're in the Kryptonian atmosphere, right?
Yes.
We're all on the same page still, all right?
Still with you.
So then when the Kryptonians come to Earth, they're wearing their masks and their suits to stay in their Kryptonian atmosphere, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then when Zod gets his mask ripped off, that's when he starts getting like the powers, right? The X-ray vision and the Superman. So why do any of them have powers before they take their suits off? See, I just broke the movie. I just broke it for context. Oh, no, Dallas, I'm sorry.
No. I started piecing it together before the question was asked, and I was like, oh,
Dallas,
crap.
Oh, I feel so bad for Dallas. Look at him.
Okay. Wait, I got this. On,
Casey is stone faced. He doesn't bother him at all.
I'm confused.
All right, no. Ask your question. No, we're gonna work through this together.
That again. Go right. Go through that again, right. Please.
No problem. Let's see that in an instant replay.
I just watched that the other day.
Really?
It's been a while since I watched it. If I'd known you guys were doing commentary, I might have watched it recently.
It's all right. You'll watch it with the commentary tomorrow. It's great. In Man of Steel, the Kryptonians have a different atmosphere than Earth. So when they come down to Earth, they're wearing their masks and their suits to keep their own atmosphere, right?
Right.
Okay.
So they can live.
So when Superman and Lois go on the ship, they give Lois a little atmosphere mask because, you know, humans can't exist in that environment. They don't give it to Superman. Superman has to adapt to it. He like falls over and starts bleeding out of his mouth. They eventually strap him down to a table and clone Lex Luthor from Lazarus or Cyborg's creator. Your pick. He takes his blood and he's like, oh, this is Kryptonian atmosphere. Here, you're as weak as a human. So in the Kryptonian atmosphere, Kryptonians don't have superpowers. And the reason they wear their suits and their masks is when they go down to Earth, they need to be in their own environment. Established when Zod's mask gets ripped off and he starts getting power. He starts hearing things and seeing things. And that means he didn't have powers before that. Because Zod's like, what have you done to me? And says it just like that, Mike. Yep. Shannon.
It's a great impression. That was right there. It's good.
The squalor. And so the problem with the movie is all the Kryptonians have superpowers and they're wearing their suits. None of them should have these abilities until they take their environmental, you know, seal off their suits like Zod does later and have powers. So all the times they use superpowers until Zod does at the end without his mask is an error. Plot hole.
Okay. They have the powers. They have the physical powers.
See, I knew this was going to be a defense. I knew somebody was going to say this.
But when the mask gets ripped off, he's completely vulnerable and to the sun, and that's when all the heads stuff starts.
But Superman has no strength on the Kryptonian ship until they changed atmosphere to Earth's atmosphere.
Yep.
All right. You know what? You're right.
I'm sorry.
I tried my best.
That's a play I would have made as well. That's a smart move. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they go out of their way to show you that they have a guy tell you that Superman is as weak as a human in the Kryptonian atmosphere.
And the thing that sucks is learning about that big of a plot hole does ruin the movie for me.
I'm sorry, but it had to be done.
I'm actually pretty upset.
Like I said, it's just all right.
It was all right, yeah. Dang it.
Casey.
This is how long it's been for me since I watched Man of Steel. So you're saying the Kryptonians were using powers and at the same time that they're in their suits.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Like flying in super
Absolutely.
Strength or whatever.
Exactly what
they were.
Like the Battle of Smallville, everyone loves so much.
Yep.
Namek is wearing his TIE fighter pilot suit the whole time.
Yep. Okay, well, I definitely remember the battle. I didn't remember that he was wearing like his Kryptonian astronaut suit.
Yeah, definitely was.
Feyora has her mask on. Yep. Yeah. So that kind of ruins everything, frankly. Yep. But on good news is I like Batman vs Superman a lot more this time. So
really,
But that movie's worse. So like, how can you like that better than?
Because I like Batfleck. I like. Mm-hmm. Wonder Gal, that never caught on. Wonder Gal, I think that's genius. Because Wonder Woman, Wonder Gal. I mean, why isn't this caught on?
Gal Gadot. Yeah,
it's perfect. And that way, you don't have to say her last name because I'm not sure how to pronounce it. So, is it Gadot or Gadot? Because I've heard both.
I think Gadot.
I think Gadot.
See, I've heard both. I don't know.
I need to find a clip of her saying her own name.
So, Casey, when you watch Man of Steel again with our commentary, you'll keep an eye out for this. You'll see.
I will.
I've ruined it for Cavante. Dallas, I think, he's gonna stay the course, I think, but good on you, man. Also, the whole point of Man of Steel is like, the world's going to accept you, Clark. It's going to change the world, right? It's time to embrace Superman. And Smallville has the same problem, right? At the end of the movie, no one accepts Superman. It's like, I guess he stopped the other guy, but pretty much made ground zero here. If anything, I'm 100% on Batman's side. I'm like, yeah, screw that guy. You know, like that's why I like Batman and Superman better now as well. I'm like, yeah, I 100% understand why Bruce Wayne wants to take this guy out because they just destroyed Metropolis. You know, it's like there was never the moment that the movie was building toward where like they have all this like, oh, you just got to change the world, Clark. And, you know, you got to take a leap of faith and all that stuff. Where's the payoff to that? I don't see that in the movie. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that in the movie. So that's another problem.
I failed him in life. I will not fail him in death.
There you go. Ben Affleck.
Oh.
You could say that theme continues in the Batman v Superman. That's probably the best.
Well, that was from Batman v Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Dang it, Zach. I was about to watch Man of Steel in a couple days, too.
Well, you came with our commentary.
It's true.
It's like, yeah. It's like 80% me just bitching.
Ranting,
out.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I used to defend it. Because the things that bother most people don't bother me. Like him killing Zod? No, I think that makes sense.
No, it didn't bother me.
Because like, what else is he going to do, right? I mean, I don't think there should be a no-kill rule for Superman. Because I think the people he fights can't be contained by conventional means, right?
Right.
Batman, I more, because he's a human fighting humans. So it's like, yeah, you should, you know, no lethal force. Mm-hmm. So, although, remember in Superman 2, he like, kills everybody. mm-hmm. Now, I don't... In the television cut, the Arctic police. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know. But oh no, I mentioned this in the commentary, actually.
You do.
Like, nobody but nerds like us know about the extended cut of Superman 2, where there's deleted scenes where the Arctic police come, and the Arctic police, you heard that right, come and take Zod Ursa and Nan away.
Yep.
Lois kicks Ursa into the bottomless pit. Superman throws Zod into a bottomless pit, and Nan jumps into a bottomless pit.
Yep.
And that's the last we see of them. And they do it with a smile. So...
I always liked the idea in Man of Steel, like, he wouldn't kill a human, but Zod was from where he was from. So, it, you know, he took that as, oh, how do I say this? It's like, it's part of his responsibility to deal with this problem from this foreign planet that's encroaching on Earth, and he will deal with it by any means necessary, but he's not going to kill any humans. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Although all the problems in Smallville and the DCU come from Krypton.
That's true.
But yeah, Casey, go ahead.
When I watched that, to me, it was an absolute last resort, and I think mm-hmm. it's pretty obvious it was.
Yeah.
But,
and he waits until the last possible moment to snap Zod's neck.
Like, stop. Well, he's and, like, I'll never stop. And, like, well, you have no choice.
He chooses humanity over Kryptonian.
Krypton had his chance.
It's true.
I think he just chose to save. He just wasn't going to let Zod kill that family that he was about to burn up.
Innocent people.
And,
yeah.
And then he snaps his neck. And one thing I love about that scene is how he basically screams after because he's so frustrated that he had to kill him.
No!
Right. Yeah, I just love like that scene. It's a lot better. Henry Cavill does a lot better.
Lois, we make a point of this in the commentary as well. Like, it's like, hey, she's at ground zero right now, and you see Superman and Zod crash, and like a minute later, she's running into the train station there. Like, how did she get there so fast?
She needed to be. Yeah, you're just.
She was motivated by the power of love.
The thing with Lois Lane in these movies is there's a massive confrontation, and she just always like shows up right at the end. It's like first film, it's like Zod and Superman at the train station. She's like, oh god, and then it's in the second film, it's like, oh, his mother's name's Martha. Don't kill him, man. And then the third one, it's like Alfred bringing the big guns, and she's like, oh, Clark. Everybody in the world knows you're Superman now because I called you Clark in Central Park. Like, that's what Lois Lane does in these movies. So I like Amy Adams. The first half of Man of Steel, she's great as Lois Lane, mm-hmm. but then they run out of stuff for her to do, and then she just kind of jogs up the things that are happening. Like, oh, I threw the spear. Oh, I got to go get the spear. You know? It's like, that's what we're dealing with here. So
yes. I hate Amy Adams as Lois Lane.
Whoa!
Now we're talking. Mister, this is the best Superman movie ever. Now we're talking. Explain yourself.
I hate her. She's not good. She's not a good Lois Lane. Okay, other than that one quip in the Man of Steel movie where she's like, okay, are we done measuring dicks now? Okay, other than that, she is a terrible Lois Lane. Erica Durance, until I die.
Wow. Casey, what are your thoughts on this? This is a hot take.
You know, I would rank Terry Hatcher and Erica Durance ahead of Amy Adams as Lois Lane. Not as actors, but as Lois Lane, yes.
Well, correct. Yeah, of course.
It was just kind of weird to me. This is another problem with the DCEU is they rushed the character development with Lois and Superman. So it'd basically be like it is now in the comics. And by the end of the movie, it's like, oh, they're together and she knows he's Clark and all that. And she knew before
they were together.
It's how she met him knowing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like on Lois and Clark or even the first Superman movies where it was like to her, Clark and Superman were two different people. It was just in the Man of Steel. It was one person, the whole time.
Even on Smallville, right? There was the blur for a year. And like that was okay, guys, we know, but we're doing it this way. So, you know, it's like, okay, I understand. Like, there's nowhere to go after that with their relationship, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, like, in the first movie, like, it's all done, and I have a hot take. I like Amy Adams' Lois Lane. I just don't think her and Henry Cavill have chemistry together.
That might be a good part of it, because they don't.
Because there's no, like, flirtatious, cute buildup. It's mm-hmm. like, I just found out who you are, now we're in government custody, now we're on an alien ship, now you're gonna die, now I'm gonna fly off. And then we're going to have an awkward first kiss joke in the middle of Ground Zero after an alien invasion. That is just so wrong.
Even in the little scenes, like in Batman v Superman, where he hops in the tub.
That's so weird.
It's so weird. Yeah. Like, who does that with clothes on? It's something like, a couple would do, but I don't see them as a couple.
I agree.
Did he even take his
Amy
shoes
Adams
off?
Doesn't work.
No.
Not the shoes, Clark.
Look, let me or my wife be taking a bath, which that's a luxury. And then someone just walks in there and stands up in it. Get out of my tub. What are you doing?
Yeah. We're peeling back the layers here, guys. I didn't know we were going to talk about tonight, but this is good. We're peeling back some good layers here.
No. I mean, the whole deal, like, I mean, I like Amy Adams. She's an amazing, amazing actress.
Loved her on Smallville.
Yeah. Yes.
No, it's just like, I mean, kind of like, that's like the problem with the whole cinematic universe is like, they're like, oh, this is only like, this happens because it's supposed to. So things just happen because they're supposed to. Like nothing feels natural. It's like, oh, of course they're going to get together because they're supposed to be. And we all know that. So let's just make them together. We don't need to spend any time. Like, it's just, everything's just incredibly rushed. I mean, Superman died in the second movie and that was supposed to be some big dramatic thing. And it was kind of like, oh, well, if you think about it for more than 2 minutes, you realize he didn't have to do that in the first place. So, you know, like we know he dies, like, you know, that way. So he had to do it.
See, that's why BVS is worse than Man of Steel.
Oh, man.
He died. Yeah, it was not earned. Really cool, like aesthetically, like scene, you know, very dramatic, music swells. Oh, it's a cool visual. But that's really kind of what you get with Zack Snyder. Cool visuals over a great story. You get really cool visuals. That's probably why I like the movies. But that's probably why, and that's honestly, that's why I'm excited for, like, oh, you know, a little spoiler. I'm excited for the Snyder Cut because, like, I want to see those cool visuals. The universe is gone. It's not.
But
like,
at what? But yeah. But you know, that's the thing. But at what cost? Like, we're gonna, like, yay for the cool visuals. But like, is the story gonna be good?
Probably
yes,
not.
It will.
Probably not.
Based on what we've gotten, it doesn't seem like it's going
but
to be.
Every movie got better.
Did it?
Yes.
Yes.
Look, it has Batfleck in it and Wonder Gal. It's automatically going to be better.
And Awkward Flash.
Never seen
we all
Sucker
love Awkward
Punch?
Flash.
I have seen
Sucker,
like Punch.
Sucker Punch.
I love Sucker Punch. And I used to take so much shit about it, you know, when it first came out, because people were like, why do you like the movie? I was like, this is actually good. Yeah. But, like, you know, he has not impressed me with some of the stuff that he's done in the DCEU.
If the universe was still, like, going and, like, everyone had, like, was still contractually obligated to make more movies, I'd be, like, super nervous about this. But the fact that, like, this is, I mean, it has to be better than what we got. Like, it has to be. The Justice League was crap. My son was 7 when I took him to the theaters, and within the first 5 minutes, he was breaking down the movie and wanted to leave. A 7-year-old was bored by Justice League. First off, when I took him to see Justice League, we were the only ones in the theater, which I knew was already a problem because it was out. And, like, I went to a small theater in my neighborhood, but, like, no one was there. And, you know, Batman finds a guy on the rooftop, fights the parademon because he smells fear, and then the dude is hobbling over, like, you know, oh, it's because Superman's dead. And, like, Jackson hasn't really seen any of the other movies, but then he was like, why did Batman just let the guy go? He just leaves him there? And he's like, he let the criminal get away. And I was like, well, I don't know, bud. Just keep watching it. And then like he just kept throughout the movie being like, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And it was just really bad. But like that movie was, yeah, it was so frustrating. I just need Snyder Cut to be better.
Wait till you tell him about how the Kryptonians shouldn't have superpowers in Man of Steel. Oh my God.
Sorry. He'll probably figure that out himself.
Yeah, no, he's smart to those things. But yeah, no, I mean, Snyder Cut has to be better than that, right?
Look, I hope it is, but like I have not seen evidence that it will be. I think the visuals will be great.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the story will improve at all. If anything, it'll probably just stay packed.
I have been consistent in saying I think if nothing else, it will be consistent within itself, which the movie right now is not. Yeah,
it's not.
And it will be consistent with the previous two entries if you want to see this as like the Zack Snyder trilogy. Right?
Okay. And the previous two entries were
The Man of Steel was crap, as we've established okay. in this conversation. but
I'm sorry, who established that? No.
Batman v Superman was, you know, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good.
Fantastic.
What?
I
enjoyed it. I just
really need Flash. I really hope that awkward Flash was like a Whedon thing and not like what he's actually
I think that's a choker thing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
That really, guys, do we really think they're talking about we're casting the Flash movie? Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm, all right. Who wants that, first of all?
Honestly, I really think WB is just leaning back and they're saying, we're going to release the Snyder Cut, and whatever happens, whatever the fans want, is where we're going to go from there. We're either going to go Snyder Cut or we're going to reboot everything.
Yeah, you can't really have both. Like, you can't wedge Pattinson in with all the other heroes.
Yeah, right? I'm just sad because I won't get any more Batfleck. That's really all.
I'm sad as well. If there's one thing we could get out of this is possibly a Batfleck movie, because I mean, we've seen Ben Affleck lately. Looks great. He's turned his whole life around, you know. So good on him.
Oh, Cavante, you haven't been on. What's your opinion on Robert Pattinson playing Batman?
I haven't seen Twilight, so I don't have any bad. I don't have any. I just watched The Lighthouse recently, and I was like, this dude is amazing. I can't wait to see him be Batman. So like I don't have
Water for Elephants not too long.
No, I have seen Twilight. Actually, I take that back. When I was flying to Afghanistan, our unit played it on the in-flight movie on repeat.
Wow. So to get you guys like riled up and
they wanted us to be pissed. They wanted us to be pissed when we landed. So I watched Twilight for 18 hours, but I didn't really watch it. It was just kind of on. So yeah, no, I mean I don't have the he was that glittery vampire type deal. You know, I just like Batman. I just want to see some good Batman stuff. That's all.
Well, the biggest problem with it, it's like Val Kilmer. I think he's good Batman, but he's not Michael Keaton. And that's going to be the problem with Pattinson. It's like, well, he could be great, but people are like, well, but I like Affleck. And when you know that someone could still be playing the character who you prefer, that's always going to be hanging over its head. So,
yeah.
This is something Lance are talking about, I think, kind of off microphone, about Man of Steel. Like, the problem with DC. It's like they've already done it all. Like, we have Christopher Reeve over here, Michael Keaton over there, and Batman, but Dark Knight trilogy, right? It's like.
And all the animated stuff, which did everything the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which is like for a lot of things and a lot of characters, it's the best iterations of those characters and their stories.
So you can't have like the Marvel success, like, because you can't. These things have already happened, and
they
just
did
like,
it already.
You're going to be comparing it to like this and that. Like, no, you could do anything you want with Iron Man. Nobody cares, you know. Like, you know, even as great as a character as Captain America is and has been accepted and turned out to be in these movies, like they could have done anything with him because there's not like, you know, well, I like the '70s movie better. No one's going to say that. So
there was a '70s movie.
There was two '70s movies.
Yep. With J.D. Salinger's kid, the guy that wrote
the 90s
movie. One of them stars
J.D. Salinger's kid.
Yeah, that's the Captain America from 1990 with Ned Beatty from Superman the movie. That's J.D. Salinger's grandson.
Yeah.
And there were two in the 70s where he's like on a motorcycle.
J.D. Salinger is in that J.D. Salinger?
Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah. His grandson plays Captain America in the 1990 Captain America, available on Blu-ray.
Yes.
So, and the other two are from the 70s. He has like a clear shield.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. So.
Yeah, no, but I am excited about the Snyder Cut. I'm going to sit back and watch however many hours is going to be. I have wasted 4 hours of my life doing worse things. So I am going to sit back and watch some cool visuals. And when it's over, I'll say, all right, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad he got to make the movie that he wanted to and all the stuff that went around it. I think I'm just like, I feel bad for Zack Snyder and what happened, you know? So I just really wanted him to get the movie out. And I like the cast. I mean, I didn't really like Ezra Miller before the incident. So I'm kind of just like, whatever about him.
The incident.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I like the cast and I just really wanted to see. And we get to see, apparently we're going to see a lot of more Cyborg, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just excited about those things because that.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Zach, to quote you, DC has the same problem that Smallville had in its later seasons. They're a victim of their own success.
And they don't take and they don't take criticism well. They got super scared.
Yeah.
Well, this is like the most reactionary franchise I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Man of Steel to make $1 billion, put in Batman, put in the Justice League, make Avengers.
Star Wars is kind of becoming that now, man.
Star Wars, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would much rather be in on Warner Brothers' lot than the Disney lot. You know? Because, man, Star Wars, if there's one thing Episode 9 did, it was unite the fans of Episode 7 and 8 and say, no, this is not what we wanted.
This is really bad. But yeah.
I like the new Star Wars movies.
Oh, man.
So do I.
Good for y'all.
Hey, I'm one of those Star Wars fans. I don't care. If it's more Star Wars, I'll take it.
Fair enough. Okay.
You know, I also like Wild Wild West.
Giant mechanical spider.
Okay, Casey, you're on your own there.
I like
otherwise,
the song.
Otherwise, he would have been West. Neo.
Take me to the Wild Wild West.
Yep.
Oh, Will Smith.
Where's the rap for Suicide Squad? Well, that's a missed opportunity.
Oh my God, no.
Some kind of Suicide Squad. Say Suicide Squad. What?
What?
Oh my God. I accidentally bought that movie on my Xbox by mistake. I tried to rent it. I accidentally purchased it. And I'm mad about that. I own it. It's like every time I go to my movies, it's right there. Like, you want to watch it? I'm like, no, I don't want to watch Suicide Squad.
You were brave to admit that, Kamante.
Yeah, no, I purchased it, man. I purchased it.
I had no intention to ever buy it, but when we do commentaries, I do buy it.
Yeah, the last time I'll watch that movie will be when we do comment with the commentary on it.
Oh no, you're gonna watch it again when they release the air cut.
That was fun talking about things like that. So, are there any Smallville related things anybody wants to bring up? I mean, this is, you know, Eric, we're halfway there. Halfway there.
Oh,
living on a prayer. So, season 5, we're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, season 5 was my favorite season. I love season 5. Like, that's what I've been waiting for. Oh my God, just see Clark and Chloe kiss at the end. It was so great.
Yep.
That was me in 2006.
And it's summer. Him in 2020. And
yeah, here I am.
That was me in 2010.
That was almost the closing statement on, is Chloe going to become Lois?
And the answer would be yes, based off that episode. She's saying,
yeah.
So, wait, isn't it in the season premiere of the next season where we meet Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Clark's like, hey, we have this moment. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's like the end of the world. It's no big deal. And Clark's like, oh, okay, I guess you're dating the guy who looks just like the guy who took my powers those couple times.
Oh, yeah.
I loved season 5. I think there are some weaker spots in it, especially kind of near the middle. After Reckoning and before, like, Oracle, they're hit or miss. Mercy's a great episode. Cyborg's a great episode. But there's some questionable stuff in there. Like, I guess I would still, if I had to rank the season so far, I'd say, like, 3.
Okay.
5. It's tough now. 2, 1, 4.
Ooh.
I love season 1. But season 2 was really strong, and so was season 3. And season 5 was really good, too. Going into season 6, we'll see if it can dethrone season 4 as being, you know, my at the bottom of my list.
7's going to do that.
7 will, I think, 6 or 7, man, go back and forth on those. Because 6 is really, the first half, like, oh, man, Green Arrow and Justice League and Batista! Nope.
Batista!
Season 10's the best season.
You think season 10 is the best season?
I love season 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me explain to you why the Kryptonians shouldn't have superpowers, and let's see if it's, see if it's still your favorite season. You know what? You know what else is BS? Smallville does. I gave Man of Steel some crap. Season 9, right? We're gonna turn the sun red. Okay, Clark doesn't have powers. Makes sense. Why do the Kandorians have powers? Does that ever explain?
Damn it, Zach.
No one's asking for your explanation.
You're making me put money in a swear jar right now, man. Cut it out.
We'll get there.
It was just Kryptonian science that Jor-El knew about.
Well, I think there could be an argument like, well, they had the blue kryptonite in their clones and made with a blah, you know. You can pseudoscience your way out of that. I agree, Casey, because we don't know how that cloning worked. But that's a similar situation, I think. Like, oh, well, why do they have powers? Because they're all should be the same. But yeah, see, who's really excited about season 6? Because I'm not.
Well,
in fact, y'all just skip the podcast that, until we get to season 8.
Well, with that admission, I'm now very excited for season 6.
Yeah, I can't wait now, man. It's going to be so good.
I mean, I tear apart stuff I love. Wait till we get to stuff I don't love. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Zach, do you want to admit which episode is your least favorite in season 6?
Let's see. I'm going to pull up a list right now.
No, I want to hear something bigger. Okay. Zach, what's your least favorite episode ever?
Ooh, probably Fortune.
Really?
I only say that because I know it's your favorite episode. Or one of your favorite episodes.
That probably was the most blatant ripoff of movie plot as an episode, though.
Absolutely.
One that, I don't know if it's the worst, but it's one of my least favorites is Magnetic.
Ooh, yeah. That was a bad one.
That was a season 1 episode in season 3 for some reason. Like, if you told me they filmed that in season 1, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like Redux, a season 1 episode in season 2, which they did film in season 1. That's one I go to just because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why is this here? Probably one of the ones in season 8 with Lana, because it completely derailed the entire momentum.
Well, any episode with Lana is just bad.
This guy, he doesn't like Amy Adams as Lois Lane. Doesn't like Lana Lang.
Like, I hate Lana.
You must be a very frustrated Superman fan, Dallas.
I am.
You know, one of the seasons, or one of the episodes in season 6 that I actually like that I think a lot of people don't like is the episode Promise.
The wedding.
And it's not because they get married. For me, it's one of my favorites because it is the way that Lana finds out about Clark's secret by basically setting a trap.
It's right. Also literally the worst CGI when he
runs away.
Off.
Yeah, but that should be how. But that should be her perspective.
That's not an error.
That's her perspective.
Her perspective. That's what it would look like.
I honestly thought.
Yeah, they're not going to hear a whoosh. They're just going to see him there and then
so
not
bad,
there.
Though.
Well, no, but that's the perspective of Lana. That's a choice they made.
Yeah, they did that on purpose, I believe.
Hey, I have a list of season 6 here. I'm just good or bad. Okay, that's what I'm going to go through. If you guys, I can go through this list and you let me know how far off I am. Zod, good. Sneeze, good. Wither, bad. Arrow, good. Fallout, bad. Rage, good. Static, good because of Batista. So that's like good with like an asterisk. Subterranean, bad.
Yeah.
Hydro, bad. Justice, good. Labyrinth, good. Crimson, bad. Trespass, bad. Freak, good. Promise, bad. Progeny, bad. Nemesis, good. Combat, bad. Noir, bad.
That's my worst. That's Prototype. My
least favorite. I liked Noir.
Good for you.
That was the Jimmy Olsen episode, right?
Yeah, it's the Lois and Clark episode that found its way into Smallville. Prototype, I really have no memory of, but that has Tamho Pankit, however you say his name, Hilo from Battlestar Galactica, who was in Resurrection as the older brother who dies from the Adam Knight pallets.
Wasn't he in Arrow also?
He was in Arrow. He was one of the Bertinelli family's right-hand guys.
Ah.
He's also in Man of Steel, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that greets Lois Lane when she gets off the helicopter. By the way, also very distracting, Man of Steel, way too many Smallville guest stars. I can't
And just
too much.
And just too many famous people.
You're like, oh, look, it's the West Wing meets Law and Order meets Smallville meets Battlestar Galactica. It's like, enough. Yeah. Cast some new people. Phantom, I remember being good because I'm like, oh, look, an actual super fight.
You forgot one.
What, did I miss one?
Yes.
What's missing?
Reunion.
Oh, I left it off my list. Oh, I have one more episode to fill in for next season. So that was a good one.
Wait.
I have a list right here.
The Fox reunion show?
Oh, what? No. This is the one where Lex Luthor and Oliver Queen, it's revealed, went to what, Excelsior?
Excelsior. Excelsior!
And the first time they ever mentioned Gotham on the show Smallville.
Oh, they mentioned Gotham there. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, yeah, I gotta get back to Gotham.
No, there was one time before that.
Well, it's the first time I remember it being mentioned.
I know they mentioned in season 7, like Quest or something. It's like Lex Luthor meets some guy and gets something for his, like, unlock the box in Zurich or whatever that whatever nonsense they're doing. And they use stock footage in Batman Begins of the Narrows.
Of course.
So. Yes.
So well, there you go. There's my season 6 rundown. Sorry, reunion. Forgot about you.
It's all good. That's why I'm here.
So I'm very, very excited. I can't. Justice, probably, A+ episode, right?
Duh.
Absolutely.
I can't think of any other ones in that list that are A+ episodes.
Absolute Justice.
That's season 9, bro.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, man. So, yeah, no, I think season 6 is like, it fools you, because you're like, yeah, man, Green Arrow, the Justice League, yeah, but they leave.
Yep.
And the show keeps going for like 10 more episodes.
Yeah, that's very correct.
Yeah.
And we find out that Chloe's mom is Wonder Woman, and she has meter freak power. She's not really crazy.
Yep.
Like, stop retconning things. Like, you just leave it alone, you know? I don't know. When it comes out, because season 7, I think, has some A+ episodes, like off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Like, Apocalypse, A+ episode.
Yes.
Descent. I haven't rewatched in a while. One where Lex kills Lionel. Spoilers.
There's some cool. There's some fun Supergirl bits in 7.
Yeah.
So
Little Miss Sweetcorn.
Yeah, that's fun. Like the whole like semi triangle of her, Jimmy, and Chloe is funny.
So bad.
It's very. It's very much that.
Fracture, maybe Cry. There's a little kid Lex in Lex's head.
Mm-hmm. Saying,
you're my best friend, Clark. I'm like, oh, the feels.
That
was good stuff. But
wait, are you, Zach, are you still sticking to, you're not watching any Smallville before the episode you're doing?
That's correct. The only time I broke that rule is when we did the top 10 list. And nothing from season 6 or 7 on the top 10 list other than Justice, I'll tell you that. No, I think season 7 was the one with no, like, wasn't even
no
close.
Representation.
Like, it wasn't even the honorable. I haven't listened to those since we did them, but, like, since the honorable, I don't even think it was season 7 an honorable mention.
No.
Poor season 7. Because season 4, think about season 4, you got Run, you got Onyx, you got Transference. Like, those are, like, boom, 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 A+ episodes right there.
Yeah, there are some of the best.
Did I rank those A+? Hope so.
Four, even though overall, as a season 4 is not as good as most of the others.
Very good. I agree. So there you go. Are you guys hyped for season 6 yet? Because I know I am. So
I am.
I'm ready.
It's gonna be
fun. I'm ready for it.
It's gonna be fun. I'm here for it.
So ready for it.
I'm disappointed that I'll actually have to wait this time though, because this will be the first time that I'm caught up while you're on hiatus.
Don't worry. We got some cool. Shows planned for the hiatus. So we have we're going to cover, of course, Superman Returns, which took place in between Smallville season 5 and 6. Also going to cover Superman 3 as well. So the original Superman Returns, as I like to call it. And and probably, you know, a few other mailbag episodes. So if you guys have any, I mean, you guys don't need to write mail. You can just ask me right now. But if you have any. If you have any comments you like read and discussed in the mailbag, please send those to alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. So, actually, that's a good announcement for the.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody listening, if you have, man, not just y'all, but whoever's listening to the show, we're gonna do a mailbag episode coming up here. So, let me think about this though. When is this gonna come out in comparison to when the mailbag is?
It's a good question.
It might be too late to send in your mail. Then you have to wait another 6 months, or whenever I want to stop gagging episodes. Do you know that, and I didn't mention this in our commentary, actually, because It wasn't for Man of Steel. It was for Batman Superman. I'm so ahead of myself. I'm so ahead. I'm so well prepared. I'm ahead of the game. But they wanted. They were looking at Tom Hanks for Lex Luthor. WB wanted him for Lex Luthor.
Really?
Anything would have been better than Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Wait. go ahead. Go ahead, Dallas.
Jesse Eisenberg is a fantastic Lex Luthor.
No, he's not. Wow. Okay.
Yes,
so
he is.
You hate you Amy Adams as Lex Luthor? Yeah, this? You just made Kev leave. He just left.
Dallas,
you hate Amy Adams as Lois, but you love Jesse Eisenberg's Lex?
Absolutely, I do.
Dude,
especially when he's shaved and he's like,
oh, well, you know, wait, when they took the scene from Smallville?
Yeah.
If you like all this stuff you say you like, how do you not like Wild Wild West?
I never said I didn't like Wild Wild West.
Please find a clip where he said he didn't like Wild Wild West.
I love Green Lantern. It's a terrible movie.
So you love Jesse Eisenberg and recognize that he's a terrible Lex Luthor?
No, I don't recognize him. Terrible Lex Luthor. Nice try. No, he's a great Lex Luthor.
I think it's a valid interpretation, but it's not the one we needed or wanted. I've been consistent with that stance. And I did like him more rewatching it recently because if you listen to what he's saying and all that, you're like, oh, he's just completely neurotic and crazy.
Bad.
So,
yeah, I could see Jesse Eisenberg as a
Mark Zuckerberg.
Jealous of someone who's jealous of Superman, mm-hmm. but not necessarily as Lex Luthor.
Well, the worst scene from him is the one with the Jolly Rancher.
Ugh.
What was that about?
That's awkward.
Just creepy and gross.
As he should be. He's the villain.
I had Lex to Google not that after you mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago. And
the Jolly Rancher.
After I watched it, I didn't remember where it was. At all. That was like the first time I thought I'd seen it.
Well, it was unnecessary. Like, I don't know, like, because that other government guy's like, hey, we can help you out. You help us out. Like, what did he do for the government? I don't know what that was all about, but maybe in the Ultimate Edition. Oh, wait, that's the one I watched. They still didn't explain it. But,
yeah, bad movie.
So, man, we were full of, hot. This is the hot takes roundtable right here. This is. So, okay. So, here's a question for y'all. You've been listening to the podcast now for 5 seasons. What do you think my most ridiculous take is about Smallville? Or the one you disagree with the most? And if you don't, that's fine.
For me, it's that kryptonite gives human powers before Krypton explodes. And the fact that kryptonite exists before Krypton explodes because, you know, humans have mined for minerals deep below the surface, so why couldn't Kryptonians? It just, to me, if you had what technically after Krypton explodes, it's radioactive, so it's harmful to Kryptonians. To me, it just wouldn't be radioactive.
Radioactive!
Oh,
so
man.
It's entirely plausible to me that it could give humans superpowers and also not harm Kryptonians on Earth if they mined for the green rocks back on Krypton.
See, but I always thought the radiation happened when Krypton exploded, and that is what allows it to give people powers. But I see what you're saying. You're saying that it still has these...
I see what you're saying there, too, because I don't have an answer for that.
But yeah, regardless of Krypton exploding or not, these rocks have these, you know, properties to them, they would still... I mean, that's what Zor-El says in season 7.
Okay, I do have an answer for it now.
Yeah,
all right. It's the green rocks effect under a yellow sun, just not radioactive to Kryptonians yet before Krypton explodes.
But if you keep the kryptonite inside the spacesuits from Man of Steel, would they still affect you or no?
I'm not touching that.
All right. Very good. All right.
Not until I've had a chance to at least watch it and, you know, wrap my head around it.
No, watch it. Let me know what you think. If you have a good defense for it, I'm very interested to hear it. I know Dallas would be as well. Mm-hmm. So
no, I haven't had a take that you've had that I've disagreed with. I just knew that I was like, all right, I'm going to ride with this dude. I'm going to be a Patreon subscriber when you start talking about how Clark should have been with Chloe. That was it for me. You know what I mean? You know.
I just saw something. So Lois wears at least, what, it was the helmet, right? Was it just the helmet?
She wears the helmet, yeah.
Okay. Suppose those suits under a yellow sun have powers.
Oh, there's some kind of battle suit?
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's not how they're just shown at all. Like, it's, but you can I see the headcanon working. All right. I respect that.
That's strictly off the top of my head at this point.
Yeah. I tried to headcanon Jesse Eisenberg for like 3/4 of that movie until I realized he was just weird. And I was like, maybe he's just acting like that so people will think he's not capable of doing it. Like, maybe he's like, maybe that's part of his genes. He's like trying to pretend he's this like weird dude. And when he goes behind closed doors, he's actually like discalculated. Nah, he was just weird.
Well, he's Lex Luthor Jr.
Yeah.
And he's obsessed with his dad. He says his dad a whole lot in the episode. In the show.
In the movie.
In the movie. God's sake.
Wherever would we get the idea that a Lex Luthor would be obsessed with his father's work?
But a lot of people are like, oh, what if they bring in Lex Luthor Sr.? Because there are a couple lines where Lex in the movie's like, I just thought if I leave the room just like it is, dad will come right back. And I'm like, backdoor Bryan Cranston opportunity to bring in. Why did people, just because he was bald on Breaking Bad?
Yes. Yes.
Like, I know people, I always say Billy Zane should have been Lex Luthor, and yes, I understand he's bald, but he also looks, sounds, and acts just like Lex Luthor. So, I don't think that's, is it that much to ask that Lex Luthor be bald? I mean, that's his costume. So, as Dallas holds up a Tombstone mouse pad.
Hey, man, Tombstone, now that is a great movie.
Billy Zane would have been fantastic.
You can still cast
as Lex Luthor.
There's still opportunity.
And he was great in that, too. Lois Lane is in that movie.
Oh, my God. You're right.
It all connects.
Well, that's like, you could still cast Billy Zane as Lex Luthor. Like, he could still do it.
Yeah.
And the worst thing to me is when they cast him as like P.T. Barnum on Legends of Tomorrow. I was like, you got the actor, but the wrong part. Now, John Cryer is great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I've wanted to see Billy Zane as Lex Luthor since at least like 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, since Superman Returns. So, Dallas, do you have any hot takes of mine that you disagree with on the podcast? Other than liking Smallville, apparently, which you...
Well, super happy that the Green Lantern show is happening on HBO Max.
Green Lantern Corps. Yep. That's your hot take that you disagree with?
That's it. I mean, all right, man. Green Lantern.
Keeping the customers happy, man. I mean, these guys.
Oh, man.
I have something I guess I would have to disagree.
Yeah, this is great. You guys, they had their chance. Krypton had its chance. It's all you now, Casey.
It's kind of by default, but back when Smallville was airing, I never thought that Chloe was ever going to become Lois Lane. But mainly because Lois Lane came on the show before I could even think that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, let me tell you a little story about somebody called Henry James Olsen, my friend. that was a character who came on the show for 3 years.
Yep.
This guy was Jimmy Olsen. They kill him off. And like, oh, by the way, that wasn't Jimmy Olsen. There's Jimmy Olsen. Right? So that's what's crazy because, like, no, I agree with you. Like, and this was a big thing. I was, you know, on the Krypton site forums and stuff back in the day. And there's so... thousands of pages like about the Clois theory, Chlois. So you go through the first 3 seasons and you get to Delete, and she uses Lois Lane as a pseudonym, and you're like, wait a minute, if Smallville runs 5 years, this is the exact middle episode, it's a perfect time to reveal that Lois Lane was there the whole time. These guys are genius. And she's like, oh, my cousin's interested in journalism. Like, okay, cool. And then they kill off Chloe, and you're like, oh, but I remember it was Nick Ryan Magnoza we mentioned earlier. We were hanging out in high school, and he had heard me talk about this, and after that episode, he's like, you're totally right. Like, you're like, they're gonna turn Chloe to Lois Lane because you think she's gonna die, quote unquote, come back with her pseudonym and be Lois Lane. It just makes perfect sense.
It's true.
These
are true events.
Or what they could have done, which is complete like soap opera garbage, is killed Chloe for real.
Mm-hmm.
They introduce Lois Lane, but she's played by Allison Mack with dark hair in season 4. I bet that crossed their mind. But then she showed up in the first couple episodes, she's like, well, it seems to check out. She seems like Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. The longer she stayed and was not Lois Lane, and the longer the Chloe like continued to like
be a
go
reporter
up the ranks of the Daily Planet, I was like, wait, are they gonna do this? And then the end of season five, it's like Clark and her kiss. I'm like, oh, well, the whole season's been leading to this. Of course, this makes perfect sense. Meanwhile, Lois has her like fourth job working for Martha Kent. But the thing was, they kept hammering home like, oh, Lois and Clark ended up together. It's so funny. But they never, other than like mind control stuff, and they never did anything with that, even in season six. And then season six, let's not forget, Lois gets fatally stabbed and like Chloe dies in Chloe's arms. They're like, well, are they going to do this? But then she cries her back to life with her healing powers.
God, like that's like some bad anime stuff right there.
So, but by the time season seven came around, and then like Chloe got fired and took over ISIS.
you about to trigger my PTSD, man.
Sorry. Wait till we get to the episode called ISIS.
Could you imagine watching that episode in Afghanistan while you're actually fighting ISIS? Because that was my experience. That was my experience with that episode.
Oh my god! So no, I guess by the time season seven was winding down, I think we'd all kind of come to terms with like, well, I think Lois is Lois. I know it sounds stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, well, of course she's Lois.
But then they actually started making her Lois, like,
yeah,
in season eight, and then Lana showed up and ruined that
he
progress.
Everything. So. Anyway, that's the journey of the Clovis theory. Because, I mean, you look at all the arguments people used to say, well, she can't be Lois Lane. She knows Clark's secret before he's Superman. Everyone knows. But, of course, like all the arguments they use against Chloe being Lois Lane, Lois eventually ended up doing all those same things on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So those arguments became null and void. But, yes, Lois had the general as a dad, and Lucy's a sister, and you know, there were Lois Lane things about her character, but as far as what she was doing with her career and life, like, as I've always said, like, that's not what I see a young Lois Lane being. I see a young Lois Lane being Chloe, and clearly the show didn't know what to do, because you know, there must be two.
Yeah.
Right? They pretty much had two Lois Lanes for several years on the show. And then I became such a big fan of Lois and Oliver Queen. I was like, well, hell, get them together. And Clark ended up with Chloe. So, because as we all know, I mean, Oliver Queen never...
I don't want to talk about Oliver Queen ending up with blondes, man. Not right now. Not yet.
So
I was cool with Oliver being with Chloe in Smallville. Like, I was cool with Oliver being with the blonde tech girl in Smallville, because Smallville had, at that point, had established itself as being a completely separate type of universe deal. It's its own thing.
Right.
And it was like, okay, cool. All right.
We're going to get a comics accurate show where he ends up with Black.
And to Smallville's credit, like, Oliver's like, oh, you know, like they kind of established that he and Canary were kind of like, you know, sort of seeing each other off and on in whatever or whatever it was they were doing. They were messing around.
Those emails were strictly platonic.
Exactly, right? So they were, you know, they kind of established that they were messing around. So like Oliver had, I guess, a fling with the Canary. So they even got that part in. But then I was not cool with it when they make a specific Green Arrow show and Oliver does not end up with, you know, a Canary in that show. He ends up with a blonde IT girl. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how on brand it was for Oliver Queen to date every woman in a family. But I mean, on Smallville, he dates Lois and Chloe.
Yeah.
And then on Arrow, he dates Laurel and Sarah.
Yeah.
So, guy's a dog.
Mm, yeah. An atomic dog.
That somehow I was just reminded, I think Dallas said the first time I was on this show, he was talking about how Tom Welling got to make out with every major female lead. Except for Martha Kent, which thank God he didn't. But there was one other who he didn't make out with, thank God, because it was Laura Vandervoort.
Michael Rosenbaum did, though.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Off camera.
Yep.
Well, that's another thing I remember about season seven. Like, why are they trying to, like get Lex and Supergirl, like, on, like, to get, like, she had amnesia, and Lex was, like, the one person she trusted or something, right? Detroit?
Well, that was a play out of Minnesota comic books.
Yeah, because the post crisis Supergirl, what, Matrix Supergirl, shape shifting alien, God, comics.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, she was Lex Luthor's girlfriend during the death of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly, actually, Lex Luthor Jr.
who looked like Lionel.
Right, yeah,
he's from Australia.
That also rings up another thing I thought of earlier tonight on this podcast. In the death of Superman, they explained Clark's absence by saying he was trapped under rubble and Supergirl shapeshifts as him, I think, so they can see Clark and Superman in the same room or in the same location.
Right.
But Do they even cover Clark's disappearance after death, after Man of BVS?
No, he just rips open his shirt and saves the day at the end of Justice League. No problem.
Like they don't even explain what happened to Clark.
They already knew he was Superman.
Everybody knows.
I must have missed that part then.
Well, General Swanwick just has to shapeshift into Clark and be like, "Hey, I'm back. Sorry, there was a misunderstanding. Hey, Superman, we look a lot alike. Isn't that funny? I'm Martian Manhunter. Didn't you know?
I can't wait to see those.
Because we just made that up.
I can't wait to see those unfinished effects when they try to throw that in there really quick. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
It's like the mystique eyes, a little flash.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I don't know. Like, I definitely don't think they had that in mind when they made Man of Steel.
They didn't.
No.
Batman, Superman, who knows?
I don't know. Zack Snyder had that in mind.
No, he didn't.
For sure. Absolutely, he did.
Yeah, no.
But to what end?
If anything, like, throughout these past couple of years where, like, he didn't know if he was going to be able to release his cut, everything he's been saying, he has a lot of work to do now. Because, like, literally, like, we're expecting the world.
I have never felt like there's been any type of clue towards Martian Manhunter in any of the DC.
It's because there wasn't.
He did say they're turning.
There was.
They're turning Earth into Krypton, and apparently he would not have known the name of the planet was Krypton. That's one of the arguments I've heard.
The guy from Man of Steel.
The guy from The Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions. Isn't that weird they cast Lawrence Fishburne and... What, is it Henry or Harry Lennox?
Harry Lennox.
From The Blacklist on NBC. Good show, by the way. Pretty much plays the same character. Yeah. We have a security alert.
The Martian Manhunter.
We'll see. I always thought on Smallville it'd be cool if it's like, hey, how are we going to get around everyone seeing Clark from No Glasses for years? We have a press conference. Superman's up there, Tom Welling in a costume, as if. But he's up there having a press conference, and then Clark Kent's like, excuse me, I have a question. People say we look a lot alike. Can I get a picture? Jimmy Olsen? And the two of them take a picture, and then they go back behind the podium, and he turns back into Martian Manhunter and flies off or something. I think that would have been a good way to explain that. Obviously, thinking of the death of Superman, because I think they do take a picture of like Superman getting Clark Kent out of the rubble or something like that.
Speaking of Jimmy Olsen, how did they have Steve Lombard in Man of Steel, but not Jimmy Olsen?
Well, Jimmy Olsen was Jenny Olsen. And I know they denied
that. That's what I heard too, but then they said no. Then
like,
they
no,
said,
no, no, like, no, 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 no. It's like, it's okay. Just own it. Like, if you turn him into a Jenny Olsen, just say it. Yeah. Like, it's fine. I mean, that's not that big a deal. But, like, the fact that they, like, they say her, Jenny, she gets trapped under the rubble. Like, Jenny. It's like, okay, you have an intern at the Daily Planet. Yep. And their name is Jenny. And always hanging out with Perry White.
Yep.
What am I supposed to think here? Like, you've gender swapped Jenny Olsen. Fine. Whatever. I mean, I think they were going to do that, but for some reason they changed their mind because they wanted to shoot Jimmy Olsen in the head in the next movie.
They wanted to shoot him in his face.
Wasn't it somehow also explained that he was using an alias or something? And
Grant Gabriel from Smallville, who is Julian Luther. Spoilers. By the way, the cloning on that does not line up in the timeline. We'll get there in season 7.
Grant Gabriel?
Yeah, that's his name. He's the Daily.
Is Julian Luther?
Did you not know that?
No.
Have you watched Smallville?
I had no idea.
He's not.
Zach, I mean, I'm happy to have you here, man, but I'm just curious.
He doesn't watch the show.
I think we've exposed you.
I love that. That's one of my favorite twists in all of Smallville.
No.
Didn't see
the
that
twist,
coming.
The twist is you've never seen this show. That's the twist.
I've never seen this show.
How did he find the podcast if he's never seen the show?
No, man. We did a special on Man of Steel. He's like, yes, this is my jam. Actually, I guess we haven't done a real... My thought was we would do that when the show was over, because that came out after Small. That's what we were talking about this, too, I think off microphone during the talking today, watching Man of Steel. Like, it's crazy that Smallville... span two Superman movie franchises. Like, you know, one of them failed, but it's like, it's just this hiccup in the middle, like Superman Returns. And by the time, you know, 2011 comes around, they're using the Superman Returns suit as a prop on Smallville.
Yep.
So, oh man. Those deep fakes, guys, let me tell you, they're getting pretty good. I mean, guys, have you guys seen those Tom Welling deep fakes on Henry Cavill's face during Man of Steel? It helps that they have a similar facial structure. Because, you know, when you see a deep fake and it looks off, it's because people's heads are different sizes.
Yep.
Like, you just can't, like, do it that way. The algorithm isn't that good yet. One day it will be. So one day we can sit here and just put all the Smallville people in all the...
Yeah, no,
I mean, right. I'd rather put Christopher Reeve in all the things, but...
His Tom Wong's face is practically an octagon, a very common shape.
It's common shape. Yeah, Julian Luther, Lex tells him that he's his brother, but he'd be too old.
Too old.
Because he
too
was,
old to begin the training.
Thank you, Yoda. And or Mace Windu. Yeah, Julian Luther would be, he was born with Lex after the meteor shower, mm-hmm. right? As we see in Memoria. So Lex was, I don't know, like, what, 13-ish, right? In Memoria?
Yeah.
So Lex is 21 in season one.
So he's 28 in season seven.
Which means that Julian Luther would be 15 years old. So
yes, but I have a counter-argument for that. It is, it's basically explained when Adrian shows up in the Christmas episode.
No, I know that they're clones that are age-accelerated, right? But right. Lex told Julian Luther he was the real Julian Luther.
Well,
he didn't tell him he was a clone. But if you were Julian Luther and you knew what year you were born, then you would know that you're
maybe
not.
He lied about the year that he was born somehow.
That's great. I can't break him.
I mean,
he will not back
Lex
down.
Clearly wanted a little brother. He wasn't going to let some minor detail over of the year that he was actually born versus the year that
he faked the birth records at Metropolis United Charities. We know.
Yeah, so. There you go. Right. I mean, if Lionel could do it for Clark, then Lex could do it for Julian.
All I'm saying is I'm going to keep a close eye on Julian Luther's backstory when we get to Gemini. That twist got spoiled for me, by the way, on the internet. Bizarro. That being Bizarro the whole time.
Mm. Oh.
I think I saw something like, oh, it was cool to see Bizarro at the end. What a twist. I was like, damn it. That's my own fault.
That's your own fault for lurking on the boards. I told you that.
That's pre-Twitter.
I told you that.
I got no one to blame but myself.
That's right.
So.
I just remember being confused when Lana opens the curtains and you see his face go bizarre.
Yep. Lana could not tell the difference between Clark and Bizarro.
Yep.
But Lois could tell the difference between Clark and Ultraman.
That's right.
So, those are some good episodes in season 10.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a more relaxed, unfocused round table.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some fun, had some hot takes, shared some laughs. Dallas, where can people find you out there on the internet if people want to find you?
Lurking around the Always Hold On Smallville Facebook.
You find me on Twitter, Casey Cochran 53.
You can find me on Twitter at chill_us, CHILL_US. And soon you'll be hearing me flap my gums about Arrow.
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all my social medias, and I, too, shall soon be talking lots about Arrow. Bum, 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 bum.
That's right. Always along to Arrow. You guys excited for that show?
My mom is. We have at least one excited listener, I'll tell you that.
I don't know if I'll listen to it before I'm caught up on the Arrowverse.
You guys stay pretty spoiler-free, right? Other than the episode zero, where we talk about the entire show and the series finale. Other than that, we stay pretty spoiler-free.
Did you just refer to yourself as spoiler-free?
No,
they're spoiler-free.
How are we spoiler-free?
Oh.
You might hear me rant about a character called Ragman. That may be a spoiler.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Oh, we did mention Felicity nukes a town.
We do that.
She nukes a
town. So, no, we're not spoiler-free.
Sorry, but she nukes a town. There you go. There. I said it.
Hashtag where's
Y'all
Wildcat.
Y'all suck. Spoilers.
No, they're very good at spoilers.
We're good.
Dallas, I understand your frustration since you've never seen the show. We're spoiling for you.
Right.
All right, guys. This has been a fun one. As always, thank you so much for being members of 33.1. We'll be back with another roundtable soon. We'll see if there's any hot topics to discuss, or we can keep finding our own hot takes amongst ourselves that we were unaware of. So that's a lot of fun. If you want to become a member of 33.1, why wouldn't you after hearing this exciting conversation? You can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. I'm Zach. You know the rest. And until next time, always hold on to Smallville.
It's worth it.
Yes. Thank you, Dal. I know that you mean it, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I do. So.
Always Woven to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Dallas Hernandez, Cavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jim Thomas, James Bandini II, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe Mickendo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheikh, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Justin Maitner, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Catherine Emmerich, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Corey Moore, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Will Hunt, Nathan Ruthcatcher, Clunk Kent, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirsch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Deinberg, and Jasmine Magalie. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.